are now listening to a very special message from Joy Community Church.
Well, today we're going to be talking about what he just prayed about, the supernatural power of God. Hallelujah. And my scriptures are going to come from the 8th chapter of Romans. In my Bible, it says life in the spirit. That's the heading for the 8th chapter of Romans. So we're starting with the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 2. And because you live in him, Christ Jesus, the power of the living and life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. That power, that supernatural power. Romans 8 and 6 says, letting your sinful nature, that unredeemed man, control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Romans 8, 9b says, you are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Christ at all. And finally, Romans 8:11, the Spirit of God, the supernatural power of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal body by the same spirit living in you. He will give life to your spirit, your soul, your body, your mind, your will, and your emotions. So on the next screen, we're talking about the definition of supernatural. In Latin, it says supernaturalis. I hope I'm saying it correctly. It means beyond nature. It means anything that pertains to or is caused by something that cannot be explained by the laws of nature. It means beyond or above the natural. So this is the realm where God operates, where he has interaction between himself and with man. And it's the place where God wants his children to live and operate from. We say spirit, the spirit realm. You put up the next picture, please. Sid Roth, who is the host of It's Supernatural, has for years said this. We, talking about believers, are naturally supernatural. We are naturally supernatural. And we must begin to see and think of ourselves in just that way. Yes, we are naturally supernatural. And I believe that today, God wants us to engage our hearts, and our understanding. He wants to change our perspective, the way we think about and see the supernatural power of God. Now, we're very familiar with the supernatural power of God. If you've heard Bible stories, we know great Bible stories of all of these supernatural happenings of God, like the creation, Noah and the great flood, the plagues in Egypt, or the opening of the Red Sea so that the Israelites could go through, God on Mount Sinai, or the fall of the Jericho Wall, Jesus himself, how he was born, how he came, just Jesus himself. Jesus feeding the 5,000, Jesus walking on water, Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. All of these are great demonstrations of God's supernatural power. But today, I feel that he wants to talk to us about what this supernatural power has to do specifically with each one of us, and how it will manifest in each one of us. If we could put up the next slide. Isn't that a nice picture? I found that picture about 4 or 5 years ago. I just thought it was interesting. With all the superheroes, Marvel and DC, whichever one you are, and they're all listening to Jesus because they all recognize whatever we're doing, you got the answer. I like that. Human beings long to experience the supernatural, and so they are drawn to inexplicable circumstances, people, and things. like magic or horoscopes or the superheroes. We have men, women, teenagers, children, adults going to the movies to see these supernatural beings. And why are we drawn to these inexplicable things? Because we have an inherent desire to connect with the supernatural, right? Now, really, what are we connecting with? We're really desiring to be connected with the Lord God, because we've been designed to be in relationship with Him. It says in the scriptures, God, who has called us into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, He is faithful. 1 Corinthians 1 and 19. And even as believers, we long for that which will wow us, which will bedazzle us when we're seeking God's supernatural power. Like those things that I mentioned just a few minutes ago. We want to see overwhelming things, walls falling down and floods and all kinds of great things, big things. And that's what supernatural power of God is all about, right? But if we do not see that wow thing manifesting, we tend to think, somehow we've missed it. We're not experiencing what we thought we should be getting, right? And so we begin to make up an excuse for it. I must not be holy enough. I must not be prayed up enough. I'm going through something right now, or I feel guilty, and I really can't connect, like, and so therefore I can't see these things. Or some people just say, I'm just a regular old Christian. What does the great supernatural power of God have to do with me? That has to do with people like the pastors and the elders and prophets. And you know why we think like that? Because we have a preconceived notion in our mind of what the supernatural power of God is. And it might not be what God is saying at all. So I'm learning that we should not focus on what we think or what we see that God did not do. Wow, I was looking for the supernatural power of God, but He didn't do it. He didn't do it. Because if you focus on what you think God did not do, you will miss out on what God is actually doing in big things as well as small things. Too many of us believers over the time of our lives are waiting on something big to happen. And we forget and don't recognize sometimes that as believers, the biggest thing that could ever happen has already happened to us. We, as born-again believers, have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness. We have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We are brand new creations. Whatever your mama birthed, after the Holy Spirit, you're something greater than that. Amen. Isn't that an awesome thing? Yes. So, we already have a great thing that has happened to us. Romans chapter 8 shows us that the supernatural power of God enters into our lives when we accept Jesus Christ in our hearts as our Savior and our Lord. I'm going to say that again. The supernatural power of God has entered each one of our lives when we accept Jesus Christ in our hearts as our Savior and Lord. And the supernatural power of God is given to the believer to enable him or her to live the supernatural life God has purposed for him to live. Who? God has purposed for us to live a supernatural life. Ephesians 2 and 10, one of my favorite scriptures, says we are God's masterpiece. We are God's workmanship. And we've been created in Christ Jesus to do the work that God planned ahead of time for us to do. So, the supernatural power of God is given to us so we can be who God is calling us to be. And He's given us this supernatural power that we might be able to reach out and minister to others. Now, we know from the Word of God in the first chapter of Acts, Jesus' disciples were not yet ready to begin carrying on His work or to minister after Jesus' death and resurrection. that though they had walked with him those 3 years, had ministered with him those 3 years, they still weren't quite ready. As a matter of fact, after his ascension, they were still all together up in that upper room, afraid of arrest and wondering, how are we ever going to be able to step out and do what God has for us to do? But we also know in Acts 1, verses 4 and 5, Jesus had told them, don't you leave Jerusalem until Father God sends the gift of the Holy Spirit, until you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus recognized that in his time with them, he had answered all the questions. He had modeled every form of ministry, and he had walked them through the scriptures. The word of God himself had walked them through the scriptures. But Jesus knew that was not enough. And he knew what they needed right now was the supernatural power of God from on high. So all throughout the book of Acts, another favorite book of mine, the disciples deliberately tapped into that supernatural power of God, which explains the secret of the apostles' success and their worldwide impact. So we see in Acts chapter 1, the disciples are gathered to pray in that upper room. After God, Jesus told them to wait, they prayed and they sought the Lord. Acts 2, 1 through 4, the disciples were baptized with the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 4, they were baptized again with the power of the Holy Spirit, anew and afresh. And consequently, they were well able to testify to the world. They were able to testify to the world with power about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and to share the good news. So, what have we learned from this? We have learned that success is being tapped into the supernatural, amazing power of God. Amen? Amen? So, reading through the book of Acts, we see the testimony of the supernatural power release. What has happened? Number one, it helps us to make new converts or believers. When the supernatural power of God is released, new converts are filled with Holy Spirit power. And when the power of God is released, prayer can accomplish great and amazing things. For instance, through prayer, the release of Peter was miraculous from the prison. When the power of God is released, they were able to heal the sick. They were able to cast out demons. And through praise and worship, we learned in chapter 16 of Acts that they can cause an earthquake, chains were broken, prison doors were unlocked and opened, and a whole family was saved. And maybe more, because we don't know that maybe some of those people in the prison with with those two men might also have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. So we see when the supernatural power of God is released, great things happen. The Holy Spirit is the source of God's supernatural power. And this supernatural power, this Holy Spirit power, must be the power to undergird the work of the kingdom of God. And it must be the power that undergirds the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not human might, not human power, not programs, but the supernatural Spirit of God, the power from God. 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5 says, my message and my preaching are very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I have relied only on the power of God by the Holy Spirit. Another translation of the same verse says this, but my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but your faith should be in the power of God. Amen? I was very much privileged by accident to come across an interview, if you put the pictures up, between Corrie Ten Boom, who was being interviewed by Catherine Kuhlman. You see them? That's Catherine and Corrie. And then there's the next picture. You can see a better picture of Corrie. All right? If you're not familiar with these ladies, Catherine Kuhlman was a very well-known evangelist and very flamboyant, I was told. And she was best known as a faith healer. And she hosted healing services around the nation, probably in the 60s going into the 70s. And Corrie Ten Boom was a Dutch watchmaker, Christian author, and public speaker who helped many Jewish people escape the Nazis during their invasion of Holland in World War II. Now, I see that Catherine Kuhlman passed in 1976, and on her 91st birthday, Corrie passed in 1983. So I'm believing that the interview I heard was probably in the late 60s, early 70s. But to me, it was a historical thing that these two historical ladies were together, and it was a wonderful thing to be able to listen to that interview. And God showed me a lot about his supernatural power as I listened to Corrie give her testimony. And so I'm just going to share a little bit about that. And I took notes, so I won't go off because you know me. I can really tell a long story, but I wrote notes so I'd stay focused. Okay. So to hear Corrie Ten Boom tell her story, there was an anointing, there was a power, there was a joy as she testified of her family's growing and intimate fellowship with the Lord. They were devout Christians, and her father was a watchmaker. Later in life, Corrie also became a watchmaker and became her father's partner. Their household was in a city called Haarlem, H-A-A-R-L-E-M, in Holland, and it consisted of their mother, father, Corrie, a brother, two sisters, and three aunts who lived in the home with them. And Corrie was the baby. And they lived over the watchmaker's shop. When she told the story, there was such joy and light in her eyes. The family was close-knit. There was laughter and there was joy. There was unity. There was harmony. There was agreement. Reading and discussing and sharing the word of God was key in their home, as well as prayer. They were a praying family. And Corrie learned early from her elders that the life that is worth living is a life about living to please God. And her family was well known for helping others in the community. Through outreach, they ran a youth center and they ran programs for women in their neighborhood. Carrie's father and her grandfather, who began this prayer back in the 1840s, were very serious about praying for the peace of Jerusalem and praying for the Jewish people. They said that the Jews were the apple of God's eye. And because of that, they had weekly prayer for the Jewish people. Now, in 1940, the Nazis invaded the Holland. And many of the Ten Boom's outreach programs were shut down, including the youth center. And the Jews were being threatened, they were being abused, and some were now being deported to Germany. Now, when they were being deported, nobody knew it then, but they were being deported to go to the prison camps, the concentration camps. The Ten Booms not only helped by praying, but they helped the Jews with money, with food, and relocation. Relocation was a very dangerous work, but they believed that they were called to this because they were alive to please God. They had a hidden room built in their home to hide the Jews from the Germans. This is the story that was told about in the book that Corrie wrote, which was called The Hiding Place. And the Ten Booms even became a part of the Dutch underground. And the family helped, as a family and as part of the underground, about 800 Jews to be deported, to be relocated, out of the country to safety. And all of this happened before they were betrayed as a family and then arrested. So Corrie, her sister, and her father, who at that time was 85 years old, were taken to the local prison where their father died within a few weeks. Corey, while she was in solitary confinement in the prison, said she could experience the presence of God, but it was so difficult not seeing anybody for months and months and months. And you know what she said? She said, "I truly believe the Lord sent this little aunt." Now, when she said that first to her in the interview, she was thinking, "Your aunt came to see you?" She said, "No, an aunt, a little aunt, came into the room faithfully every day. It was another living creature she could touch and agree with." Eventually, she and Betsy were taken to Ravensbrück concentration camp for women in Germany. And the testimony of Corey and her sister Betsy was that the supernatural power of God empowered them day by day and sustained them, even in their scariest, most intense, and painful times. God showed himself strong with them through it all, and his presence was so very evident to them. In her interview and in the book, The Hiding Place, there are many, many stories, but I'm just going to share one, and this was about lice. As they were coming into the barracks one day, they noticed that, "Why are we scratching? What's with all of these sores? What's going on?" And they discovered they had lice. It was an infestation. Now, because it was the concentration camp, who cared, you know? So they had to endure it. But one day, as they were going out to work, the guards shaved all the ladies' heads off. They didn't like that. Some of them had long, beautiful hair. They shaved it all off so they could see everything that was going on with the lice, so they could dust them when they were going out to work. They didn't care about what happened with them when they went back into their own barracks. But when they were out working amongst us, the guards and all of that, we don't want all that stuff going home with us. So one day, Corey was complaining, "Why these lice? Why won't God take care? We've asked him to take care of the lice. Why won't he do it?" And her sister Betsy said, "God did this for us." "What? How could she do it? What are you talking about?" She said, "Since we have had the lice, do the prison guards come in?" "No. We get to share the word." That's another thing. That's another whole story of how when you're stripped naked, underneath your hair, you can slip in a small Bible. And God covered Corey so she could bring in a small Bible in her hair. One of the times, just like she said, nobody could see her, like the angels made her invisible. And so they could take the Bible out, they could read scriptures, they could share scriptures, and they were leading many of the mostly Jewish women to Jesus Christ. And they said this would not have happened if the guards were always in like they were supposed to be. But because of the lice, they stayed out. So that lice were the blessing of God. And they said, "See how God takes care of us." Before they got out of the prison, Betsy died in the prison. Betsy was always a weaker, more sickly person. And she was taken to the infirmary and she passed. And Corey had gone out to do her work that day. When she came back, her friend who worked in the infirmary told her, "Come in, your sister has passed." And she says, "But wait till you see Betsy. You won't believe it." And she's saying, "Oh, no." And she was wondering, what had they done to her, you know? And when they went, she said she was beautiful. She looked like a person that had 3 square meals a day for the past 10 months. Her whole face and body was filled out, beautiful and peaceful. And Corey said her hair looked like the angels had combed it themselves. And everybody that worked there came to look and stare. Why does she look like this? Because everybody else was just skin and bones. They looked like skeletons with a little skin on them when they passed. But she was filled out and beautiful. And that was how God took care of his daughter. His spinster, she would have thought of herself and Corey as spinsters because they never got married. But as she was in this prison, she became a preacher, an evangelist, a person that was leading people to the Lord, which was always what her father did or her uncles did. But now she was in charge. And to me, when I would read the book, it was like Betsy's head was always up in heaven. Her body was in the concentration camp. But up here, Oh, God is beautiful. Betsy, Corey, do you see how beautiful God is? Do you see what he's doing? That was the way she talked all the time. And she was always an inspiration to everybody that was there. And as I said, because of those two women, many Jewish women, when they went to the gas chambers, when they woke up with Jesus. Praise God. Now, this is what I recognized as I listened to Corey give her interview. I recognized that the power of God was being made manifested in strength, in anointing, in devotion, and assurance as she spoke to Catherine Kuhlman. She had great assurance that Jesus is mine. Jesus is for me. Jesus is with me. Jesus loves me. When she talked, there was a power of God in her words. It was amazing. I recognized pure joy as she remembered her family's times together and their times together with the Lord. I recognized the strength and joy of her family supporting each other when they were gathered together as a family, as well as when they were reaching out to the community and to the Jews. I recognized how the family, all saved, maturing disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, used their spiritual gifts, their heart, their abilities, their personalities, and their experiences to reach out and bless others, as well as to take care of one another. And all of these things that I recognize are byproducts of the manifesting supernatural power of God in them individually and as a family. And finally, I recognized their ongoing, daily, growing, intimate fellowship with the Lord, something they pursued very intentionally, all along was strengthening them and empowering them for the very, very tough times that were coming ahead. Talking about the times when the Nazis invaded, times that they knew nothing about, but yet God was preparing them for it all along. And when these times did arrive, the Ten Boom family was very well able to stand and to face them with courage and with great determination to please God, even in the midst of this, always keeping their eyes on the Lord and always doing everything in Him. Those are the things I learned listening to Corey's testimony. And you know what? I truly believe God can and will prepare each one of us in the same way if we open ourselves and intentionally seek Him as her family did. Amen? Amen? You see, the supernatural power of God, supernatural power of God comes to us when we are surrendered, when we are dependent upon Him, when we are trusting and putting our faith in Him above all things. So let us be ready to allow the Lord to unleash His power in our lives. I have 7 points that will help you to tap into the supernatural power of God. And some of you have sheets. There were sheets outside, and you can fill in the blanks as we go. Right? Okay. The first word is faith. Faith will help you to tap into the supernatural power of God. The author of the book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 11 that faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence and assurance. But what do we have faith in? And why do we have assurance? Hebrews 11:11, we read about Sarah, who was Abraham's wife. And it says, Sarah's faith embraced God's supernatural power to conceive, even though she was barren and past the age of childbearing. For the authority of her faith, or the power of God behind her faith, rested in the one who made the promise. And so she tapped into his faithfulness. And when the very promise of God doesn't make sense to us and the world around us seems in chaos, we The people who belong to God have the choice to grab onto God's miracle power, his supernatural power, and tap into his faithfulness. We can have confidence because our God is faithful. Amen? Amen. Second word is prayer. Prayer is a powerful tool for communicating with our Heavenly Father. And prayer helps us to find strength for today and hope for our future. So actively pray and seek a relationship with the Lord. Trust in the Holy Spirit's power, that supernatural power, to change our circumstances for good. Number three, pursue your spiritual gifts and pursue them with passion. Earnestly desire and pursue your spiritual gifts. God gives these gifts to each believer to empower the mission to evangelize the world. 1 Corinthians 14:10 says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. We teach those things here. If you'd like to know, just had a shape seminar a couple Saturdays ago. More will be coming. It's pursuing your spiritual gifts. Number four, be motivated by love. 1 Corinthians 13 talks to us about the agape love of God. Love is the foundation for all that we do. God is love, and love is the greatest manifestation of his power. You know the song that we sing, I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. That's what we have. In the Passion Translation of Galatians 22:23, it says this, the fruit produced by Holy Spirit, or the fruit produced by the supernatural power of God within you, is divine love in all of his expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Number five, surrender yourself to God. Surrender yourself to God. Let go and let God work. When you are surrendered, you are following God's lead. And you know you are surrendered to God when you are relying on God to work out all that's happening instead of trying to manipulate or force the agenda. It's kind of like what the Tim Boone family found out. If you want to live a life worth living, you want to live a life that's surrendered to God because your life is about pleasing God. Number six, get to know God. By trusting in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, you are getting to know God. For the Holy Spirit is the expression of God's inner nature. You also get to know God by, everybody knows this, spending time in the Word of God, reading, meditating on the Word of God. And finally, number seven, let God work through you. Let God work through you. Jesus expects us to take on seemingly impossible situations in our lives. Why? Because Jesus knows it's not impossible, not with God. For God expects to do impossible things in us as well as through us. And God wants to take what we have inside of us, all the gifts, the talents, and everything he has given us, everything he has put in us, and he wants us to act as agents of change in whatever impossible situation we are facing in our sphere of influence. He wants us to be the agent of change. He wants to do the impossible in us and through us in our particular sphere of influence. The Tim Boone family was a very good example of that because they took what God gave them individually and corporately, and they were agents of change in their neighborhood community, and they were agents of change in the Jewish community. In seemingly impossible circumstances, I think being invaded by the Gestapo and having them around all the time makes a circumstance very impossible, right? But even then, they were able to help save 800 Jews escape to safety in Holland. Even when they had been betrayed, the Gestapo came to their home and arrested them. The seven people that were hidden in their room were never found. And later on, the underground was able to safely get them out. Even though the family went to prison, they were able to be safely gotten out and moved to the next place. Later on, we know that Betsy and Corey led many women in the barracks to salvation in Christ Jesus. And then after the war, Corey had a worldwide ministry where she probably led hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to Christ as she ministered around the world through her books, through her testimony, and through her meetings. So we can see how they opened themselves up and allowed the Lord to work through them. And we can do that too. We're talking about the supernatural power of God. It is so broad, it's so universally encompassing, yet that same power is also so very personal and intimate. We need God's supernatural power, each and every one of us. I believe that's what God is talking to us about today. See this the way I am giving it to you. We need God's supernatural power operating in our lives today to carry out his purpose for our lives in the earth. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your supernatural power. Thank you, Lord God. We pray that our hearts and our understandings are open to hear you speak to us now. And as you speak to us concerning your supernatural power, we want to see the things the way you are doing it. May we see and act on that power as you would have us to. Holy Spirit, we need you to help us with this. We choose to open ourselves to you. We choose to open ourselves to your truth. Come in, Lord Jesus, and have your way in us. And we pray this in your name. And we believe that as we ask, we will believe, receive it manifested in our lives. And we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, please visit us at joycc.info.